Genesis chapter 46, and we are making progress through the book of Genesis. Amen. There's only 50 chapters. We are near the end, and this evening is message number 94. And so if you've been here for the study through the book of Genesis, this is the 94th sermon that I have preached from the book of Genesis. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I've been encouraged, strengthened, and challenged. I trust that you have as well. By God's grace and with God's help, we'll look at the entirety of Genesis 46 this evening. There's 34 verses. I do not plan to read all of them. We'll make reference to all of them. But notice, if you will, beginning in verse number 1 of Genesis 46, the Bible says, "And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said," God said, "I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes." Before we dig into chapter 46, very quickly, a review of chapter 45 that we studied 2 weeks ago. We find that it's in Genesis chapter 45 that the record is provided to us where Joseph reveals his identity to his brothers. Of course, we know that there was a series of events that led up to this revelation, and Joseph, as he revealed himself to his brothers, he explains to his brothers the duration of that great famine. He says there's only been 2 years of famine, and there's going to be a total of 7. So there's 5 more years of famine. And we find that he also discloses to his brothers the purpose that God had in sending him to Egypt. In fact, Joseph made it very plain in Genesis 45 as he reveals his perspective of life and understanding that God is in control. And though the brothers had sold him into slavery, he says, "God sent me. God sent me before you for this purpose of preserving life." And we find that as Joseph had an opportunity to reveal himself and reveal his perspective, he then gives to his brothers a plan. The plan included returning back home and bringing all of the provision that had been provided and letting his father know that he was still alive, and then not to stay in the homeland but to return. And he tells them that as they would return back to Egypt, that it was there that Joseph would care for them. What a gracious, gracious chapter that we read of and begin to see the picture of forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation. And what a blessing. The chapter ends, chapter number 45, it ends with the brothers arriving, and no doubt as Jacob was awaiting their return, and his anticipation was that they were coming back with food, with sustenance, because there was a great famine and they needed food. But yet we find that he would see that there was a great host and all of the wagons and so on and so forth, and they hear the news, they deliver the news to Jacob that Joseph is alive. It's absolutely amazing as you see that the Bible tells us in verse 27 that the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. I mean, this is an amazing account, and he says, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." In Genesis chapter 46, the passage in which we'll be studying this evening, really the highlight of the entire chapter is the reunion between Jacob and his son Joseph. But as we begin to dig into this passage of Scripture, I want you to see just a few thoughts tonight. Number one, if you're taking notes, and I've titled the message this, "A Family Reunion." A family reunion. Notice with me, if you will, number one, promises for the journey. Understand with me that Jacob and the family, they were going to take a journey, and we find that as they would take this journey, that God meets with Jacob, and God gives Jacob some promises. I'm so thankful for the promises of God. We sing, "Standing on His Promises." We understand that God's Word is full of great promises. In fact, Peter says that they're exceeding great and precious promises in 2 Peter 1 and verse number 4. And we think about all the wonderful promises of God, and we come to this passage of Scripture, and we understand that there's this journey that's going to take place. But before the journey is even started, we find that God appears to Jacob, and God gives him some promises. promises for the journey. Notice with me, we've read the verses already, but notice that God begins when he says, he calls in verse number 2, Jacob, Jacob, and he says, here am I. And notice how God begins, I am God. I am God. Isn't that amazing? To understand who he is, to understand that he is the Creator God, that He is the Sustainer, He is the Giver of life, He is the Omnipotent One, He is the God of the impossible, and He says to Jacob, I am God. And then He gives Jacob some promises. Notice as He's beginning to speak to him, He says, fear not to go down into Egypt. And so we find that as Jacob is receiving this vision from the Lord, that God tells him that there's no need to fear. Now that seems to indicate to me that God, knowing all things, knew that within the heart of Jacob there was an element of fear. There was an aspect in this journey that was causing him to fear. He was in the place that God had promised as a land for the descendants of Abraham, for his family, and yet he's going to leave and go to Egypt, and God says, fear not. By the way, God knows your heart. He knows when we're dealing with fears, and he meets us where we are, and he says to you, and he says to me this evening, and we find throughout the scriptures, I mean, throughout the Bible, there are many references where God says, fear not. Fear not. And notice these wonderful promises. He says this, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Do you notice those two words? I will. I will. God gave a promise to Jacob in this passage of Scripture, promises for the journey, and he says, I will there make of thee a great nation. Where is there? Well, Egypt, the place in which Jacob and his family would be traveling to, and he says, I will there make of thee a great nation. What a great promise that God gives. And by the way, it's only God that can make such a promise. It's only God that can speak with regard to the future because he knows all things. He's outside of the realm of time. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. And we find that as he would give this promise, he says, I will there make of thee a great nation. He's speaking in the future tense of what God will do. By the way, he's the giver of life. And he's the one that can say, I will make of thee a great nation. And he's made this promise. We find that he does not end there. Notice in verse number 4, he says, I will go down with thee into Egypt. I want you to think about the significance of this promise in verse number 4 when he speaks about his presence being with Jacob. What a joy it is to know the presence of the Lord. What a joy. The psalmist says that in his presence is fullness of joy. We have the promise as New Testament believers we often run to in Hebrews 13 where God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And here as Jacob is embarking on this journey and he's preparing to lead his family, God appears to him and God gives him some promises for the journey. He says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to build, I'm going to make of thee a great nation there in Egypt. But he says, I will go down with thee into Egypt. And then notice he says in verse number 4, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And I want you to notice the end of verse number 4. When he says this, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Can you imagine as Jacob would hear those words as God is giving him promises for the journey? And we understand that Jacob had a heavy heart because of his son, believing that Joseph was dead for all of these years. And then he hears the words from his sons at the end of chapter 45 that Joseph is yet alive. And we find that God then gives Jacob this promise that Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. This evening, as I consider promises for the journey for Jacob in verses 1 through 4 of Genesis 46, I'm reminded this evening that you and I are on a journey. It's a journey that we often call life. We understand that on this journey of life that there are valleys and there are mountains. There are times of blessing, and there are times in which we seem as if it's just a time of difficulty, a time of uncertainty, and we find that God has given us promises for the journey. We find that just as Jacob, as he would embark on this journey, physically speaking and understanding the context of Genesis 46, and he would leave Beersheba and he would go to Egypt, that God gave him promises that would help him along the way. You know, this evening, this book is full of promises that God has given you and God has given me to help us on this journey of life. Oh, how we need to know the promises of God, how we need to claim the promises of God, because on this journey of life, these promises have been given to us so that they would strengthen us, so that they would enable us on this journey. I think about Jacob as he would receive these promises, and if the journey became difficult, if it was wrought with some adversity, if the climate wasn't very conducive and all of those things, he had some promises. And you know what he could do with those promises? He could count on them. He could know that they were sure. Why? Because God started by saying, I am God. God's given you some promises. And there are times that your journey is going to be difficult. My journey is going to be difficult. But we have promises. And we have those promises. I think about the promise, the last one that we see in verse number 4, about Joseph. Man, you think that would motivate Jacob? You think that would encourage him? You think that would give him a level of expectancy and anticipation of arriving in Egypt and seeing his son and having this promise? And this evening, I understand, listen, God says, I'm with you. He's given us promises for the journey. We need to know those promises. We need to claim those promises. Standing on the promises, they're not going to fail. Not one promise is ever going to fail. What a blessing to know the promises. Number two, as I look at this portion of Scripture, I see this protection for the journey. Protection for the journey. Notice in verse number 5, the Bible says, and Jacob rose up from Beersheba. God had spoken to him. God had given him the promises, as we just read. And the Bible says that he rose up, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him, and they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. We find that the Bible begins to tell us in verse number 7, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. And these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt, Jacob and his sons. And it begins to list, beginning in the end of verse number 8, all the way down through verse number 25, it gives us the names, the census, if you will, of those that journeyed. But I want you to think about the protection for the journey this evening. And I want you to see that in verse number 5, the Bible tells us, verse 5 and 6, that the departure for this journey is recorded for us. By the way, on every journey that you take, every trip that you take in life, there's a departure. And by God's grace, there's an arrival. We find that the Bible tells us here in this text of Scripture at the end of verse number 6, and came into Egypt. We see also in verse number 26, it says, and all the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins beside Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. 66. It's not really that big of a group of people, but we find that as they journeyed that God provided the protection. Protection for the journey. The path that they would travel, the journey in which they would embark on, no doubt there would be difficulties along the way. Just with any journey that you and I take, there's the potential for difficulties. There's the potential for hazards along the way, but God provides them with the protection that was necessary. It reminds me that safety is of the Lord. This evening, we need to understand that God fulfilled the promise when he said to him in verse number 3, fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt. And Jacob and his family, they arrive in Egypt. And what a blessing. to consider this evening the safety of the Lord, the protection of God, and that God gives us protection for the journey. There are times in our life that we very distinctly see God's hand of protection in our lives. Just this week, we had some things that happened within some of the folks within our congregation that you have the opportunity to see the protective hand of God. I'm thankful for God's protection. I'm thankful this evening that when I look at this portion of Scripture and I think about the context and understanding the historical account that Jacob and his family literally took a journey from Beersheba to Egypt, that God gave them some promises. And when we understand and make application that our journey, God's given us some promises. That they had protection and God has protected us. Someone told me recently, and I was so encouraged and blessed, and I shared it with Holly and what a blessing it was, and I won't say the person's name so that they would not be embarrassed, but I was told by someone else how that this individual prayed our family safely back and forth from Manassas for 10 years. You know how that blessed my heart when I heard that? You know how many accidents are on 66 every single day? We saw a real bad one just the other night. We're coming back from a basketball game, and we saw a real bad one. It just happened. I mean, all kinds of emergency vehicles were going, and we thought, man, there must be something real major that was going on. So we tried to look it up, and you can just see when you try to look it up how fatal accident on this day, on this day, on this day. God's protection. Sometimes we just kind of take it for granted. But here, Jacob and his family, they had protection, and it's God that gave them the protection. We must be mindful, we must be thankful for God's protection in our lives. Hold your place here and turn to the book of Psalms, if you will, Psalm 73. I want to look at a quick reference here in Psalm 73 as I try to package together these first two thoughts from Genesis 46, promises for the journey and protection for the journey. And really, this passage in Psalm 73 will lead us to our final thought this evening as we conclude Genesis chapter 46. This is a psalm that's ascribed to Asaph. Notice with me, we'll look at verse 23. And I want you to think about this as we make application with regard to the promises for the journey, protection for the journey. The Bible says in Psalm 73, verse 23, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Keep that thought in mind for our final conclusion this evening. Verse 25, notice what the psalmist says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." I'm thankful for God's guidance and direction. I'm thankful for God's presence in this journey. God's given us promises. God's given us protection. And we ought to rejoice in that this evening, just as we see in the life of Jacob and his family, these souls that left Beersheba and traveled to Egypt. And what a blessing, and how those promises would give them the strength as they would trust that God would do what He said He would do, the protection along the way. We find this evening, even as I mentioned at the end of verse 24 of Psalm 73, "and afterward, receive me to glory." I want you to notice as we continue in in Genesis 46, number 3, if you're taking notes, the phenomenal reunion. I just used the word to have a P, to be honest with you, but it is a phenomenal reunion that takes place in Genesis 46. As we look at the end of the portion of this chapter, I want you to see what happens. The Bible tells us in verse number 26, I read it a moment ago, that they arrived there in Egypt. It says in verse 27, "And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were two souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen." Notice verse 29, And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. It's a wonderful reunion that God gives us a glimpse, a picture of what happens here in Genesis 46. And as we could paint the picture and understand what's taking place, and really what a sweet reunion this is, that Jacob, no doubt along the journey and how many days it took, we do not know for certainty, but we know that the duration of this journey, I believe that Jacob was anticipating his arrival. I believe that Jacob was looking forward to how many more days. You ever been on a trip and the kids say, how much longer? And you hear it all the time. And how much longer? How much longer? How much longer? Road trips are just so enjoyable. Brother Pierre loves road trips, right? And we used to tell our kids 20 minutes. 20 minutes. But the reality is that I believe there's a great measure of anticipation. Why? He's going to see his son. He thought he was dead. But he found out he's alive. He's anticipating this reunion. I believe on the other end that Joseph, he knew that he sent his brothers back home. He knew that he sent them home with goods and provision, but also with instruction to return. How many of you have ever shared your ETA with your cell phone to someone that you were going to visit? You can send your little map thing and send, here's my ETA, and you can share your trip route, so on and so forth. You've done that. Listen, they didn't have that back then, right? There was no way of them being able to communicate about this opportunity. I won't say it. But the reality is that they didn't have that. So what's Joseph doing? I think Joseph's anxiously awaiting. I think every day, Armando, he's looking out to see if they're coming. He's anxiously awaiting. Why? Because he's going to see his dad. You know what he said every single time when he meets with his brothers? He asks specifically, how's father? How's my dad? He doesn't say it that way, but he's inquiring. He wants to know. And we find here that as we look at this passage of Scripture, that Jacob, he's anticipating their arrival. Joseph is anxiously awaiting their arrival. And we read that Jacob sends Judah ahead in verse 28, and Joseph was making ready his chariot in verse 29. And the Bible says that he went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen. Notice the Bible says, and he presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck. And he wept on his neck, notice this, a good while. I don't know how long a good while is. It's just a good while. I think it was an embrace that was just so sweet. Why? Because neither one of them thought they'd see each other ever again. God gave them the opportunity to have this reunion. Jacob, as we note in the text of Scripture, is overwhelmed with gratitude. For the Bible says in verse number 30, after they had this embrace and after they have had this reunion, that in verse number 30, it says that Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. You know, God gives them 17 years. It's pretty amazing. Joseph, as best we can tell, was 17 when he was sold into slavery. And then after Jacob would arrive there in Egypt, he gets 17 years. And we see, though, the gratitude and the expression that is made of Jacob with this delight of being able to see his son. It's as if there's this completeness, this fulfillment, if you will. Let me die. Why? Because I've seen you. You're alive. And as we think about this passage of Scripture, and as we've sought to make application this evening, we mention about the promises for the journey. God's given us promises for our journey. We mention about the protection for the journey. God's given us protection for our journey. But we see this grand reunion between Jacob and Joseph, but really the entire family comes. And I want you to understand this evening that one day there's going to be a grand reunion. It's called heaven. You sing the song, when we all get to heaven, What a day of rejoicing that will be. I want you to understand this evening that the greatest thing about heaven is Jesus. The greatest thing about being in heaven is the fact that we'll see our Savior face to face. But I want you to understand this evening that just as we look at this text of Scripture and we see the promises for the journey, we see the protection for the journey, God's given us promises, God's given us protection, and there's this reunion that takes place, and one day there's going to be a grand reunion. I called it a family reunion. And oh, it's going to be a family reunion. I want you to hold your, hold your place here in Genesis 46. Turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, if you will. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, as we think about this wonderful truth this evening and we seek to make application, remember the psalmist said, as you're turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, we read it just a moment ago, but the psalmist said in Psalm 73, "And afterward receive me to glory." Paul said this, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, having that assurance that we'll be with our Savior. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 13, the Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." Those are those that have died in Christ, the believers that have died, that they have gone home to be with the Lord. And Paul says that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. We mentioned just this past Wednesday evening as we're studying through the end of chapter 5 of the book of 1 Thessalonians about comforting those that are weak in spirit, those that are feeble-minded, and how some of the things that these believers in Thessalonica had encountered, and death of loved ones being one of them. But Paul, as he continues, he says this in verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," and we do, we believe that truth, it's biblical truth, "even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Notice in verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." This is not Paul just trying to give a motivational speech. This is not Paul just trying to rah-rah and try to encourage. No, he's saying, "I'm speaking this by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." That means that we're not going to go before them. He gives the order of the resurrection in the next verse. Notice in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then," verse number 17, "we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Then notice this, "and so shall," what's the next word in your Bible? What "we," the very next word, "and so shall we ever be with the Lord." There's going to be a grand reunion one day. There's some folks that have had some loved ones that have gone on to eternity before you. Your heart can be heavy for those loved ones. But you know, it's a wonderful truth of God's Word that if they're saved, we're going to see them once again. I mean, the greatest thing about heaven, I want to make sure I keep it within the focus of our minds, the greatest thing about heaven is not simply that there's going to be a reunion, it's that Jesus is there, that I'm going to see my heavenly Father, that you're going to see your heavenly Father, just as Joseph had the opportunity to see his earthly Father. We find that we'll see our heavenly Father, we'll see our Savior, we'll see the one who died for us and rose again, but all of the same. Listen, if you read the book of Revelation, you get to chapter 4 and 5 and what a scene in heaven. I mean, the throne room of heaven, God gives us a glimpse into, in Revelation chapter number 4 and 5, a glimpse into the throne room of heaven. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be. There's going to be a grand reunion one day. Listen, this world, I said on Wednesday night, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen? Now, listen, we're pilgrims and we're strangers. We understand that we live in this world, but we're not of this world. And as we look at Genesis chapter 46 and understanding the historical context and being able to gather from that passage of Scripture what happens, but then let's make some application for us. Because you're on a journey and I'm on a journey. But God's given us promises. Just like he gave Jacob promises to start this passage of Scripture in Genesis 46 verses 1 through 4, God said, I am God, and here's what I am going to do. You've been given some promises. You better know them and you better claim them. I mean, just get in the book and get those promises and just begin to claim them. And then God's given protection to Jacob and to his family as they journeyed. God's given us protection. God's ways are perfect. God makes no mistakes. And when God's ready for us to go to heaven, we're going to go to heaven. We're going to take a final breath here on earth, and we're going to be transported into the very presence of our God. Hallelujah. Honestly, I'm hoping that Jesus comes back before I take my final breath and die a physical death. I'm hoping that Jesus comes back. Listen for the trumpet. Jesus is coming. So many people looking around this year, things that are going on. Do you see this? Do you see that? It's got to be close, so on and so forth. Listen, we just need to be busy doing what God's called us to do, because He's going to come at the right time, on time. He's not going to be a minute late. He's not going to be a minute early. But I want you to know that just as Jacob and his family, they arrive in Egypt, and there's just a great reunion that takes place. One day, there's going to be a great reunion when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. We'll see our Savior face to face. Oh, what glory. You know, sometimes I hear people talk about heaven, and they talk about streets of gold and this, that, and the other thing. Listen, all those things are fine and good, but all those things without Jesus, it's nothing. It's nothing. What makes heaven heaven is Jesus. And one day we're going to be there. And what, you know, we're going to rejoice forever and ever. Sometimes the clock can become an enemy to church. Say, man, it's time has gone by. We got to get out, things to do, so on and so forth. Man, we're going to be outside of time. We're just going to be rejoicing and worshiping and singing praise and having this grand reunion. You ever have a family reunion? I remember as a kid having a family reunion. You go to those family reunions, and as a kid, you don't know any of the people. Like, what's going on? Pinch your cheeks and all that kind of nonsense, right? Then, I've not gone to a family reunion in years. It almost seems, and I don't mean this to sound dark, but it almost seems like for some families, and it's happened in our family, that funerals almost become a family reunion. But I want you to know, for the people of God, for brothers and sisters in Christ, the redeemed, we're going to be in heaven one day. What a reunion that's going to be. Listen, live for Jesus. Live to please Him. Live to tell others about Jesus. Why? Because if they die without Him, they're not going to be there. They're not going to be there. The Bible makes it very plain and very clear. There's one way to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's a joy to have brothers and sisters in Christ from every nation, tribe, language. I mean, it's going to be a grand reunion. And we're going to worship God for all of eternity. It's going to be awesome. We see Jacob. We see Genesis 46. But we make some application for our lives. Claim the promises. Recognize His protection. And look forward to great anticipation to the day that we meet our Savior face to face. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You, God, for Your Word. And as we have opportunity to be able to see historically this event that You've recorded for us, and how grateful we are for Your promises that You gave to Jacob and how they sustained him along the way. We thank You for Your protection that's obvious through the text of Scripture and their arrival to Egypt. And then we see that reunion, and Lord, how our heart rejoices to even imagine that event that took place. And God, I pray that You would help us this evening, Lord, to understand that You've given us many promises in Your Word. Help us to know them and to claim them. I pray that they would sustain us in this journey called life. And God, I pray that we would acknowledge, rejoice in Your protection that You give us. Lord, I pray that we'd live every day anticipating Your soon return, looking forward with great excitement and anticipation of that wonderful day that we'll see you face to face. God, I pray that you would be glorified in and through our lives, that you would have your will and way. I pray this evening, Lord, that as we have an opportunity to have a time of invitation, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to just kind of thank you, Lord, for the promises and for your protection. Lord, that we would desire to live for you all the days of our lives. If there's someone here that's not saved, Lord, I pray that you'd help them to see their need for Christ, that before it's eternally too late, they would place their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus. In this moment of invitation, I pray, God, that you'd move and work, guide and direct as only you can. We'll be certain to thank you for what you'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me?